Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. What up? Welcome to Maggie and Perloff. It's Friday. You made it. Sit back, let us entertain you, because Perloff, the dynasty never ended. It's just going to keep going and keep going. And I'm not trying to just completely turn the page on what the Warriors did last night and winning the NBA title, but I can't help but forecast a little into the future of what this Warriors extended dynasty could be. And to me, it seems like we're starting part two of the dynasty last night. And it's just going to continue.
Is there like a new senior league in the NBA that I didn't know about? Like it's golf where you turn 50. They were in the midst of all the celebration. Like some of the guys were like looking at their watch, like it was bedtime. I mean, they are way too
East
old.
Coast time.
How could you ignore the ages here? If this is more of a Last Dance feel than a beginning feel to me.
Could not feel the total opposite way. You say Last Dance, I say just getting going. And I think that's why it was super obnoxious at the time when the owner of the Warriors came out in a New York Times Magazine article in 2016 and said, we are light years ahead of every other team in the NBA. And obviously that does sound a little bit braggy and a little bit obnoxious. So of course people bristled. But you know what? They might be right, because this has been so masterful how they have successfully not just kept this core together, who are not 40 years old right now. You know, they're in their mid to early 30s. And the fact that they were able to really add Andrew Wiggins as this incredible bridge piece to the next generation. And listen, who knows? They could add more pieces. I don't know if Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody are necessarily going to be the next generation. But think about what they did in a time when they had two very high draft picks, and when they were coming off of two down seasons, they drafted two teenagers. I mean, that is so antithetical to what most teams who would, in theory, be like in their prime and in their window would do, but they trusted that that would set them up for long-term success. And then you see like what Steph Curry has done, Draymond and Clay, Steve Kerr, the front office. Like, there is so much still to be like achieved from the Warriors, which is crazy, right?
I didn't feel that way last night. I felt like they were sort of looking back. I didn't feel like, oh man, we're ready to go. I felt like this was like an accomplishment, like, whew, we did it. We proved we could get back. To me, like, it was like, yes, it was a continuation, but there was this relief. We could do it. We could get back. I didn't feel like this is 2015, like when you had a baby face Steph. And you mentioned that drafting two teenagers, that's exactly what the Bulls did when Jordan left. You know, it wasn't a sign, like they didn't turn that into like a continuation. I don't know, like Kuminga, Moody, Wiseman, does this feel like pieces of a future Warriors dynasty?
Well, with the core still intact, the window is still open. I do get what you're saying, though, because there was a lot of like, you guys said we couldn't, and we could. And we'll unpack like all the pettiness that happened yesterday, because it was glorious. The amount of receipts that these Warriors are keeping. Who knew they were the pettiest team in the NBA? But we'll get to all that. I just think that they have set themselves up so well here. Yes, there was a bit of an exhale. But if you believe that Steph Curry's game is going to age very, very well, which I think it's going to, if you think that Klay Thompson is still working his way back from an injury in some ways and still could maybe not get back to prime Klay, but there, if you believe that Draymond Green can end up occupying a space that almost like Andre Iguodala did, like listen, Draymond was very good last night, definitely. But as he gets older, he becomes Andre Iguodala. He becomes like Udonis Haslam almost, where he's a guy who they're probably going to keep around forever just because of what he does for the culture.
Yeah, oh, 100%. And he does get underneath the opponent's skin. But
oh, yeah.
I didn't even feel like, this is going to sound terrible, probably going to get some hate mail off this, but I didn't think they were even the best team in the NBA this year. It was clearly like far and away the Suns. Like, this is not like the Warriors were a three seed. This is hardly like, there's no three seed who was at the beginning of a dynasty. I felt like this was the kind of the Red Sea parted for the Warriors to get one more title.
Wow. You're going to be that guy today?
I just honestly feel like, yeah, like it was the right situation.
Are you calling this cupcake finals? Why? Because.
Obviously Boston was terrible. Like, they couldn't even. It's a finals team who turns the ball over 30 times a game and can't even get past 90 points.
They can't dribble.
I said this earlier. Like, there's no way you cannot say that is a weak finals team.
Okay. I get it. But let's not forget. After game three, when they went up 2-1, they being the Boston Celtics, weren't we all saying Boston's the better team here,
right,
but
Golden
then they
State's
fell apart?
Because Golden State's just not that talented either.
I don't agree with that.
By the way, like, okay, you know what I'm talking about. It's not like Golden State just knocked off LeBron in his prime. Like, this is definitely a work in progress Boston Celtics team, and they sort of played like that. No, you said it yourself, like, after 2-1, it felt like Boston was a better team because Golden State's just not that talented. Draymond's washed. No doubt about it. Klay is still recovering. He was playing really poorly at that moment. And then, like, Jordan Poole came up small for most of the series. He's not that great. He was
good last night.
He was good, but he's like, you know, he's Jordan Poole. He's not exactly the second coming of Klay Thompson when he was 25.
No, but Andrew Wiggins, who had this career. So, okay, here's the thing about that argument, though, that we can't have it both ways. If you think that this is, you know, was not the best competition that the Warriors ever faced and leading up to a championship, or you think this is a little bit of a cupcake championship, then we can't then go validate Steph and say that this was the crowning achievement. Now, I think it was. I think these are the bookends. I am with the rest of the mainstream here of, like, Steph top 10, Steph everything, just, like, give them all the flowers possible. But with your argument, then you can't have it both ways. Because if this was an easy opponent and if this was, you know, not the challenge that they've had in the past, then we can't just start throwing all these roses at Steph Curry then.
Well, I mean my counter argument to that is Steph did not have a good team around him. Like, clearly, look at the 73 win team. He had healthy Klay, he had a much better Draymond, he had basically another version of Andrew Wiggins, he had Harrison Barnes. So it was just a younger, better team around him. This time, he was kind of dragging along some stiffs. I'm sorry. It's just like, there was points of the series where Steph was the only guy who was carrying the team. It wasn't like that back in the day.
Okay, but scoring-wise, I get what you're talking about, but we're talking about a coming-out party for Andrew Wiggins, who was a former number one overall pick who's making $30 million.
Coming-out party, he fit that role in the Warriors.
Fit that role perfectly in the Warriors. You and I were talking before the show, does this even happen without Gary Payton II? I mean, he played a crucial role just because...
G-leaguer,
but who is now being paid $12 million a year, who was, you know, a guy that they believed in. I mean, this is the thing. Are they stiffs, or are they just role players who play a very narrow role and play it very well?
No, absolutely. This is about the Warriors system to a large extent. It's about Steph's brilliance and the Warriors system. So many guys go there and all of a sudden get better. Culture too. Remember Sean Livingston? Like,
of course.
All of a sudden, his whole career is a disappointment. Then he gets to Golden State and is so effective.
Well, he had that devastating injury
Even when he came back, though, like, he was nowhere near what he was with Golden State. Golden State props these players up. They just would not be as effective. So I guess
how do you view Steph then through that lens? If you're watching the finals last night and you're thinking this is not that impressive by the Warriors because either Boston you don't think was a great opponent or whatever, then how are you viewing Steph today?
Well, I'm a huge Steph fan. Steph's amazing. He's all-time, easily top 10 player. Like, there's no debate in my mind. But I think what's really the question is, will they be back next year? I think that's where you and I differ on where this franchise is. I think next year is going to be just a wild race in the West. I think the West is going to restock in a major way. And can this team get through a healthy West? Like, I think the West was way down this year. But next year, you're going to have LeBron and AD. You're going to have Kawhi and Paul George. You're going to have Jamal Murray and Jokic. Like, it's going to be such a tougher challenge to get to the finals next year.
Okay, I get that, but... I hate to do this as a cliche, but you never know what could happen. I mean, you had the Suns this year. maybe Booker and Chris Paul had COVID at the end. Like, you just never, ever know, right? And I would say even the Warriors were able to overcome injuries, right? Steph got injured late in the year. Draymond missed a lot of time with his back. Of course, Klay doesn't come back until January. You know, you lose Gary Payton to a fractured elbow in that in the Memphis series. So many things happen. Like, you just can't predict. Like, you want to predict healthy Anthony Davis? Like, good luck to you. I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, it's good on paper, but who were the champions here? Like, who showed the medal? It was actually the Golden State Warriors.
But I'd like to bet against them next year. I think it's, and they're
the odds on favor. They're going to be the favorites.
Yeah, no, I would fade them next year. And I know, and I say that with some confidence too, because they're older players. Are they really going to stay healthy for this kind of run again? You should watch the NBA. This year, every NBA Finals, you're like, oh, man, that other good team got hurt. Oh, man, that other, you know, KD and James Harden and Kyrie got hurt. This year, Chris Middleton got hurt.
But then I can then undercut every title.
Well, that's what I do. You
this
just
is
made
your
me?
Brand. Yes, just, am I new around here? I'm sorry. I didn't realize that was where you'd staked out this land.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it starts, obviously. Anybody who's going to try and tell me the Houston Rockets in 94, 95.
Oh, wow. You're bringing up old stuff now.
Well, that's the ultimate. Any asterisk argument begins with that.
With
team.
Jordan going to baseball.
Jordan going. That is the ultimate. And that was, Akeem had, they're so amazing. I'm a huge fan, but. Come on. That was such an asterisk. The
Can
second
we
one to me.
Find a way for Perloff to meet Akeem Olajuwon and say that to his face because I want to film that.
My other big asterisk seems like, is there anyone in the world who doesn't think that Kawhi Leonard never would have won that title if Kevin Durant didn't blow out his Achilles?
Of course.
And then LeBron in the bubble with the Lakers. I could go on and on.
Okay, but let's talk about the Warriors right now because don't they deserve any credit? I mean, we're here talking, telling
they basically,
that Steph Curry's the top 10.
If I keep going on in this segment, I'm going to have them actually losing in the second round.
Wow, I didn't realize that they actually Memphis took them out.
No, I'm just saying, like,
bizarre.
Yeah. But you start off, the reason I'm saying this, you said, is this feels like the beginning of another second
round.
Part two. I find that so hard to believe at this age and the way the NBA is. And also, teams learn so much from watching Golden State. There's so many versions of Golden State out there.
Okay, well, Boston had an up-close and personal view. And Boston was the number one defensive team in the league. And Golden State figured them out in three games. And then game four, game five, game six, LLL to the Boston Celtics. Yeah. And I'm not saying that the Celtics are going to go down as an all-time great team. I'll agree with you there. But it took just a little bit, and the Warriors figured him out. And Boston is younger. Boston is more athletic. All of that. And the Warriors solved them. And Steph Curry solved them. And Andrew Wiggins was excellent on defense, and he was probably the second most important person on the Warriors in this run.
Okay. If you could pull some things I said earlier in the playoffs.
Yes.
I was watching Boston. I'm like, well, Boston's going on a run here. But, like, they have some players who are just not good. And then I'm like Peyton Pritchard's not good.
He was good earlier in this playoffs. Grant Williams was good earlier in the playoffs. He disappeared.
And I would make fun of him. Like, you tell me an NBA champion is going to rely on Derek White. And look what happened. They had to play Tatum. Listen to Tatum's minutes. He played 40 last night. It was a disaster. 44 the night before. 43 the game before. 41. 34, 42. Like, they basically had to play six guys and completely ran out of steam because they just they don't have a full fleshed out roster.
Yeah, they could not rely on anyone, and you're right. So here's the thing about Tatum. This is another thing where you and I are going to disagree. I believe that he deserves to get criticized today. There are a lot of really great and amazing things about Jason Tatum. His best basketball is most likely in front of him, but we cannot deny what we just saw, right? We just saw in games four, five and six, Jason Tatum in crunch time, nowhere. I mean, fourth quarter yesterday, it was like, it was just over. It wasn't even a chance. And that has been the fourth quarters for him. Now, you could say he expended so much energy sometimes in the third quarters and even trying to get them back. I mean, the bottom line is they needed him and he wasn't there. And I feel like he does deserve criticism today. I'm not saying he's not a great player. He didn't deserve NBA first team, nothing like that. But we can be honest with ourselves that he did not have a good second half of this series.
Yeah, but okay, absolutely true. He came up small. He had a few opportunities he missed, but, like, the offense was so awful last night. Like, what on earth was he going to do? Like, what were the Celtics? First of all, the Celtics, then just get the ball up the court is like a mini miracle.
It is such a miracle, like, when they can complete a pass.
He needs some help. Like, either him or Jalen, like, just like flings it into the opponent. I also thought the Warriors got away with a lot of little touch fouls.
They were grabbing. Yeah, I noticed you said this. You thought that the refs wanted to go home? Is that what you said in your
tweet? Well, there was one
play
where my future Hall of Famer, Al Horford, was dribbling to the lane. Steph Curry grabs his forearm, maybe misses the ball by a foot and a half, and they didn't call it. Everyone was like, well, that was obviously a hack. The official was like, nah.
A foot and a half here.
We just can't call all these fouls on the Warriors, because the Warriors kept reaching in. You're telling me that they got 24 clean steals in the NBA?
No, they didn't. But it's weird because, of course, the referees, and if you want to buy into conspiracies, the NBA wants this to go as long as possible. They want a seventh game. Hell, I'm sure even the Warriors owners, of course, they want to win the game. But they want a game seven at home. You know what the gate is like on that?
No, you're totally right. But they had trouble calling all the, like, they can't whistle every time Warriors reach in. It's like when you're officiating the Seattle Seahawks in the early 2010s. It's like, well, this defensive back is holding on every single play, but I can't just sit here and call every whistle. Did you feel like they were letting everybody get away with stuff last night?
I like that. You know, I don't mind that. When we get deep into a series or any time in a series, I don't love that, you know, what was Steve Javy, the selective officiating? Like, I get it happens, and especially with the technicals, but, like, let them play.
Well, I don't know. They were hacking. Tatum was like, Tatum gave up. He's like, they're hitting me in the arm every time. And they told him not to argue with the refs.
Yeah, I saw that.
I do agree. Tatum gave up last night, but there are a lot of reasons. I thought, like, did Ime Udoka show up well last night?
I didn't think the substitutions were all that great, but to your point, like, what was he working with?
Yeah.
The bench was zero. I mean, people I'm impressed with by the Celtics, though, Robert Williams, wow. On a bad knee, that guy was everywhere last night. He was excellent. Samter, do we have an eraser for our whiteboard? Because I hate to say, ding dong, the candidacy is dead. Al Horford, I'm sorry. Such a nice guy, allegedly. Never met him, don't know. But he's got a great reputation. I hate to be the one to do this, but we're going to have to erase his Hall of Fame candidacy.
In the
whiteboard behind Perloff's.
How can
shoulder.
You know, you were saying, how can I not say nice things about the Warriors? How can anyone say anything negative about Al Horford
today? I know, he had
today?
A good game last night.
I mean, he was, when Jason Tatum was exasperated to give up, Marcus Smart, the heck happened to him? Like, he wasn't even trying at all.
Turnovers,
the defensive player of the year, completely asleep on defense the entire fourth quarter. So Al Horford, the real champion among the Celtics, actually tries to drag the team back into it. I was impressed with Horford. I was pretty happy.
I was impressed with Horford too, but I mean, them's the rules. The rules were, if Al Horford wins the championship, then he's going to the Hall of Fame. It's an if-then situation. So, remember, back to logic class. So we got to erase it.
But however, at least my take wasn't wrong, because it would have been if they had won the title and he didn't make the Hall of Fame. So I was very clear. I'm like, if they win this NBA title.
You were, but now we have to erase Al Horford off the board.
I don't know about that necessarily. It wasn't if he doesn't win this finals, he's not going. It was just if he wins, he's going. He still has career left. He can win next year.
Yeah,
he can still make the Hall.
Okay, you're
worried
about
the... So it's not like he needs to win, otherwise he doesn't make the Hall.
I get it, but, like, you're worried about the Warriors' core aging. Like, Al Horford is actually old.
He's going to be on the Warriors next year.
He's Benjamin Button. He does look
young.
Al Horford somehow was 4-for-5 from three-point range. A 36-year-old former center.
Those corner threes, man.
He is incredibly impressive.
The way he shoots, it's like I've never seen someone so square to the basket. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's weird. He flares out his left elbow in a really bizarre way. He doesn't look like anyone else shooting a three. But
have the eraser? You're going to have to bring it in, please.
What if we put...
We can't count down Al Horford for a whole other season. It's exhausting.
Why don't we just go to 82? 82 games.
And then we'll see where Al Horford stands.
All right, here we'll wrap up on this for a second on this. I have a question for you. Who would you be more surprised if they made it back, the Celtics or the Warriors?
More surprised?
Like next year's finals.
To me, I'd be more surprised if the Celtics made it back. Yeah. I think the Warriors have a good shot.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think the Celtics are also going to run into like a lot more competition.
See, the dynasty lives. Just follow me. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
Show bet, I get the field, you get the Warriors.
Well, I didn't want to be the one to have to bring it up because I hate calling my own shot, but somebody on the show said Warriors in six. It wasn't Stu.
Stu. You're totally right. I also remember, didn't you...
I also said the Warriors have no shot after they were down 3-2-1. Forget all that. I may have lost the battle, but I won the war here with the Warriors in 6-bet.
Oh, I also want to see, like, the Warriors are the favorite next year?
They are the favorite right now, according to, you know, Sportsbet.
We got
to
bring that up. I'd love to see who's 2, 3, 4, 5.
Like. I got it right here. I'll bring it up in the next segment. We got to take a quick break. Samter is here with the eraser. Aw, hate to do it. Al Horford, what a good guy, but we got to erase you off the big board, buddy. Oh, maybe next year. We want to hear from you at 855-212-4CBS. Is this the beginning of the next Warriors dynasty, part two of the dynasty? You let us know, 855-212-4227. It is Maggie and Perloff on this Friday. Warriors are NBA champs. Let us know what you're thinking on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, channel 158.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, Maggie. I'm in trouble.
I'd say. you're writing checks.
Time to pay up some bets that I barely remember I made. You know, I don't know. Did I? Okay, so I bet Nick and our buddy Nick in Texas.
Wait, let's bring him in.
The Celtics Warriors.
Nick.
Yeah, Nick.
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Oh, I'm feeling great today.
Can I just say it right, by the way? Like, I don't know why I bet on this. I only bet on the Celtics because I picked them on the show. Like, I didn't actually.
All right.
So, what, you forced me into this bet, and now I'm hearing about these stakes that I never agreed
to.
And I never agreed to these stakes.
Well, first off, I want to wish all those fathers this weekend a happy Father's Day, especially Tom Perloff, because Tom from Iowa, my father, I would like to wish both of those Toms a happy Father's Day also.
See, aww. Nick gets to the important stuff. It's just Perloff and I sitting here yakety-yakking about barbecue sauce. What else you got, Nick? Okay, Nick, Perloff is saying that you forced him into a bet. As a witness to this, I'm going to say that is not true. It's false. Perloff willingly made this bet. He was backing the Celtics, and no, I feel like you're trying to back out of it, Perloff.
No, I'm not. Forget that part. These stakes that I just heard in the break, I never agreed to that. I'd like to hear the audio because, Nick, what is it I have to do since I lost?
Yeah, you know, enough of these side bets of Al Horford becoming a Hall of Famer, Steve's little side bet from California. This is the real bet right here. The real bet was if you lost, you had to dress up like a cowboy and dump some barbecue sauce over the head.
Sounds very familiar.
Yeah, because I think I remember Miss Maggie over there saying, can I help you, you know, pour that over his head? So, you know, there's some good proof right there that she remembers, too.
So how does this actually work, though? I have a cowboy hat on, so none of the barbecue sauce will hit me in the face.
No, well, you're dressed like a cowboy. You might have, might not be wearing the hat.
And, well,
or maybe
kind of,
you pour the barbecue sauce and then you put the hat back on over the barbecue sauce.
Wait, no, no,
don't
no,
worry,
no, no,
we'll
wait, Maggie, you can't add that. That's ridiculous. And by the way, in my memory, this is something that my wife asked a few weeks back, but I don't remember Nick bringing this up.
What's going on at your house?
I have an outfit on today. I see you have a panel on, so you're giving us a tease anyways. You knew it was coming.
Wow, that costume's going to get a lot of work.
Can I film this at home in the boudoir?
Wow. No, Nick, you do know a lot about Perloff. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, when are we going to pay this off, Perloff?
I guess next week.
Next week. There we go. Nick, and it's funny because, Nick, we could tell how serious you were about this bet because you were updating us on all of the things that were arriving at your house to pay off your side of the bet if the Warriors lost, like the chef's hat, the tomato sauce, like all the things for you to dump the pizza toppings on top of yourself.
And also on Twitter, you put like an updated graphic that looked like CBS had come up with it of where the bet stood.
It was beautiful. A thing of beauty, Nick. We can't tell you how much we appreciate you being additioned to the show. And I'm personally speaking just for myself here, how much enjoyment I'm going to get out of Perloff having barbecue sauce all over him.
Well, you're not the only lady in my life who's going to enjoy that.
Mine's going to be a little different.
Well, I look forward for seeing all the faces down on the street. You know, why this random guy dressed up as a cowboy puts the sauce in his hat to be able to put it on and just dump it on himself.
Wow. Love it.
That being said,
content. I look forward to it.
Nick, you haven't been in New York City in a while. That will not even get a head turn.
I was going to say, it's hard these days. Nick, thank you so much for the call. We'll keep you updated on all the latest. It is hard to get a reaction from people in New York City. You might have to light that hat on fire, start breakdancing.
Yeah, and I mean, Nick never said I had to take off my pants, so that would have helped get attention. But no, pouring barbecue sauce over my head in a cowboy outfit.
It's going to be great.
On 6th Avenue, that will not get any attention.
So we're going to load up the hat with the barbecue sauce, and then Perloff's going to wear it.
See, like, your little tweaks here are completely unacceptable. Like, you're making it worse by the second.
That's the only way it makes sense to me, quite frankly. Back to the basketball, Steve in Indianapolis is not happy with the Celtics today. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm not heartbroken, but I've watched basketball for before either the two of you were born, Russell and Havlicek, and this series in the Celtics play was just so maddening. And what pissed me off most about all of it, and you've belabored it too, the turnovers. And I wanted to ask the two of you, what is your opinion of a coach's ability or responsibility to tamp down on the consistent level of carelessness in handling the ball that we saw game after game after game? I mean, I've never, you know, coached basketball, and I've never sat behind a coach in an NBA game, but can a coach yank a knot in a few people's tails and say, this is not how we're going to play basketball, and 22 and 23 and 24 turnovers a game, guys, is unacceptable, and you've got it from me. It's going to stop now.
Steve,
we're not doing this.
Steve, okay, we're going to get into that in 1 second. But Maggie won't let me debate Wilt Chamberlain versus Steph Curry today. She said it's ridiculous, and B, I never saw them play. But you are old enough to, I've seen Wilt Chamberlain play. I'm so sorry to ask you this, but when you do a top 10 list, like, is Wilt a top 10 all-time NBA player? Because I think young people find him the most confusing legacy of all.
Anybody that does not think Wilt Chamberlain is one of the 10 best basketball players of all time is freaking crazy, and they've only been watching basketball for 25 or 30 years. And I tell you another thing, I remember the heyday of the Lakers and the Celtics. I watched all that stuff, and Magic Johnson's diversity of play, in my opinion, coming out as a rookie and playing center for the first time in the pros, and scoring 42 points in the NBA Finals. He could pass, he could rebound, he could shoot, he could defend. My personal opinion, and I take no end of grief of this from my friends, I think Magic Johnson was a better basketball player than Michael Jordan.
Wow. I wasn't sure where you're going with that, better than Jordan. That is a one that your friends will probably give you grief for. But Steve, appreciate that. And
I've heard people make that argument before. I've seen some really big Magic defenders through the years saying that he could have scored more if he wanted to. He just did everything to help the team.
Yeah, was Magic the defender that Jordan was, though?
No,
Jordan was incredible on the defensive side, too.
I mean, there's so many reasons. I think on the surface, Jordan. But I do think there was a Magic to Magic Johnson. No, there was something like the baby hook. Like, he was such a winner. Like, that's a problem with these top 10 lists. Like, you don't want to denigrate anybody. Like,
of course not. This is
what we do.
I just found it. Well, you know, it's part of our job is trying to put things in context. But I think the funniest thing to me is, like, waking up to a debate about Steph Curry and Wilt Chamberlain. Like,
both Warriors, Maggie. Both Warriors.
I guess. Like, I know Wilt Chamberlain was a Philadelphia Warrior. Like, they weren't even in...
Yeah, you're right. Same
wasn't
coast.
In the same city, right? Like, I don't know. It just seems like, to me, that doesn't get us anywhere. Like, if you want to start debating these things, and you even want to debate maybe Curry and Magic, or maybe you want to do at least
Curry
guards.
Curry and Duncan, Curry and Kobe.
Curry and Duncan don't even seem like they belong in the same thing to me, because they're such different players. Like, I think guards for guards, centers for centers, like wings for wings. I don't know. The idea that we'd be debating Steph Curry versus Wilt Chamberlain, it seems like you're debating things from two different planets.
You're not wrong, but look at the calendar. What is it?
No, I know
it's top list.
I know
list season.
It's list season.
And like that's
I'm wearing white.
Especially
you can only wear white after list season.
Especially in the NBA, this top 10 list or this top 100 list, like it has a special place among lists. People love ranking NBA players. They always have.
I get it. But so where this is coming from is now with Steph maybe solidifying himself as a top 10 player, then someone's got to go.
Someone's got to go, yep.
Right. And so the someone who's got to go ends up kind of being Wilt Chamberlain. But I also feel like it's impossible. I know Steve in Indianapolis was watching Wilt Chamberlain, but it also is impossible for people who weren't watching him to fully understand the magic of Will. You can read about it, you can watch highlights of it, but you didn't live it, so you don't know.
But you could enter a debate. Listen, it's not like we broke down Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with the Bucks.
I get it. I never watched Muhammad Ali box. There's a lot of people, great things that I obviously missed that I had to catch myself up on, but I'll never understand the moment.
Yes, that's very true, but I don't think that should ever stop us, because otherwise we'd be limited. How about that turnover question? I had the same thought. Marcus Smart was being so loose with the ball, and I said to myself, like, Ime, you know, I have this bet. I'm depending on you to win. You got to pull him from the game. But it dawned on me there was just nobody to pull him for. So I wonder, like, what would you have done? Do you blame the coaching staff for the crazy amount of turnovers?
I do. Just like when the Warriors were making their ascent, remember, it was from Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr. Now, Mark Jackson deserves credit for getting them to buy in defensively and really making that part of the floor matter. But Steve Kerr was the guy who came in and was like, you need to pass the ball. What was it? At least
300 times a game.
300 times a game. And that changed a lot of what the Warriors were doing on offense, not to mention some personnel changes. But like, yes, this has to go on the coaching staff. Of course it does. And also, maybe they need to go looking for a point guard this summer. Like another point guard. I know Marcus Smart plays point guard for them, but maybe they need someone else to set the offense up.
Totally. But it's funny because we're in the era without point guards. Like LeBron's teams never really had a traditional point guard. And the Warriors don't have a point guard.
I know, but maybe they could use one.
Well,
maybe
Maybe Draymond is really their point guard. Like Draymond organizes the offense for Golden State. There's nobody to do that. Marcus Smart sometimes, but... You're not wrong. They definitely need a point guard, but
and as good as Jaylen Brown was, again, like better when you literally don't dribble, just catch and shoot.
I was starting to think in the second half. I'm like, first time you see the basket, fire that ball up there, because otherwise you're just going to turn it over. Should have shot earlier in the 24-second clock, which would have helped the Warriors, but it was tough.
855-212-4CBS 855-212-4227. The level of pettiness that happened in this finals is remarkable. We're going to highlight our favorite petty moments from this series next. Later in the show, maybe Perloff and I will get a little petty. You never know. Bottom of the hour. Time for a CBS Sports update. Here's our buddy Mike McCann.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor.
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's time to ask the pros, where you guys get to ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Maggie and Perloff. I don't know if Tom Petty was petty, but may he rest in peace.
I doubt it.
I really doubt it too. He seems like a great guy. And would perform all of his songs live, Perloff, as if he was performing them like the first time, even though you know he'd probably sung the song 10,000 times. But I digress.
Man. By the way, a bunch of friends totally randomly saw Paul McCartney last night at the Meadowlands, and Bruce came out and they did the duet together. Did you know about this?
I didn't. Because my timeline isn't filled with just Bruce Springsteen sycophants like most people.
I'm sorry. Like my daughter, who's 10, her best friend is a Beatles sycophant.
Yeah.
And a 10-year-old went to see this concert. It sounds totally Tom Petty. This is not about Tom Petty, just to be clear.
No, our segment now is about the Warriors being petty. It was a silly tie-in. I'm sorry we did it.
Yeah,
terrible
and by
idea.
Way, but they also, it's the wrong song. You can't do the loser song.
Yeah, I know.
And do the Warriors.
Well, what should we have done?
You can't do Free Falling either because that's falling. I don't know. Who's a petty fan?
Forget the last 90 seconds just happened on the show. Let's keep going and moving forward because there was something about Steph Curry where he just seems like he's always like kind of above the fray, yet he calls himself the petty king. This was Steph earlier in these finals, but kind of foreshadowing what we saw last night.
I'm the petty king, so I know all about everything, and I use it as entertainment and just have fun with it.
Okay, so I believe this was after the bar in Boston put out a sign that said Ayesha Curry can't cook because, you know, she's got a cooking show and all that, and Steph printed a t-shirt that said Ayesha can cook. Anyway, so it started off very cute, but turns out, Perloff, there was like another layer to this. Right? Where Steph actually is keeping these receipts. He is getting some motivation from this, and he's keeping track of everything. So Steph, who had kind of been above the fray for the finals, like let the floodgates open last night. First talking about him as the finals MVP.
Steph, what does just this mean to you to finally be a finals MVP? Everything.
Forget that. We champs. Why are you starting with that question? We got four championships.
Okay. It went on. Where,
all right. Very team first answer. I kind of like that. That was a good job. That person queued up Steph. Steph was ready with that.
Yes. This one is from earlier in the week when after Andrew Wiggins had this like really big game where Brian Windhorst, who we know from ESPN, also wrote a great book about LeBron James. I would suggest everyone read it. It's super fascinating. And he's covered LeBron since LeBron was in high school. He said that the Warriors bought a title, right? That they bought he actually said they bought a win because Andrew Wiggins is being paid $30 million a year and because the Warriors are so deep into the luxury tax. Steph had issue with that.
I heard somebody talk about some checkbook wins and all this other stuff. Like, yeah, because we're... You know, it starts with the core group of champions and bona fide winners and the belief that we could run it back. And now we're here.
Okay, so that was Steph Curry kind of taking that shot. Listen, I can't blame a team, Perloff, if they're going to go deep into the luxury tax because that's what teams should do when you have a core like the Warriors have.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think you could. I don't blame a team if they don't go deep into the luxury tax. So you think they should? Like any team that's on the brink?
Yes, absolutely. If
but
it makes sense,
the point
I mean,
of
don't
luxury tax.
Well,
yeah.
Don't spend bad money. I mean, you don't have to be the Knicks, but like, don't spend bad money. But if you are right on the cusp, and it's the difference between Andrew Wiggins and like, I don't know, keeping Kelly Oubre, whatever.
That's interesting. So you're saying like every team should spend to the maximum, basically?
Of course they should.
Like
definitely.
Then what's Yeah, I don't know, but like you're not paying the luxury tax. I feel like they're like the only team that does it, though.
Well, no, they're not the only team that
does
it.
I thought that they had the highest.
They have the highest. They're basically paying half of it is like penalties because it is very punitive and it builds on itself and whatever. No, but if you are making the kind of money that the Warriors admit that they're making and you're here on the doorstep of keeping the dynasty alive, of course you have to go all in. That's what good sports ownership is all about.
Well, that's funny because we always insulted the Yankees for trying to buy World Series. So, and like, I'm not sure, like, forget, I don't think the Warriors have done that, but like, isn't that kind of the same thing?
The only time you insult a team for doing it is when it goes haywire, when it backfires on you. That's what I think.
People rip the Yankees nationally for buying.
Well, now the Yankees, they are over the luxury tax, but they're nowhere near the Dodgers being over the luxury tax. At one point recently, the Boston Red Sox were over. And I mean, the Mets are definitely going to go over, even further over.
See, I do think it's a general principle. There is something that's not super lovable about paying more for a title. I don't think that's what the Warriors did. And your point is very valid. But I think, like, as a general rule, like, I don't know, if you have to pay more than everybody else, isn't that sort of a legit knock?
I don't think so. I think that's like the sign of ownership keeping their promise to a fan base.
Okay.
Because you're not going to be, like, regardless of what the Warriors say, they think this is going to last for the next 30 years or whatever they said. Like, they want to be like the Lakers and have 15 finals in 30 years. But the odds are you're going to have a lot of down years. And by the way, the Warriors are coming off of like 20 years of being down before this current dynasty started.
And an unprecedented 2 or 3 years of being down.
Right. But I don't know how much money they were making then because of the pandemic. But I'm just saying, like, you've been cashing some checks here without going into the luxury tax, but you are getting money just by virtue of being an NBA team. You get to share into the TV rights. You get to share into everything, basically. Your gate is your gate, but whatever. Like, yes, this is when you spend. This is when you go for it. You drafted these core guys. You're able to make a trade for Andrew Wiggins. You're going to have to pay him. Like, I love it. Let's move on. Klay Thompson with a surprising amount of petty last night. We know this was a big relief for Klay coming off those injuries. Who knew he was keeping tabs on what the Memphis Grizzlies were tweeting?
Strength in numbers is alive and well. I can't wait. There was this one player on the Grizzlies who tweeted strength in numbers after they beat us in the regular season, and it pissed me off so much. I can't wait to retweet that thing. Freaking bum. I had to watch that. I'm just like, this freaking clown. Okay. Sorry. That memory just popped up. You're going to mock us? Like, you ain't ever been there before, bro. We've been there. We know what it takes. So to be here again, hold that. Freaking bum.
Put it in the Louvre. I mean, that's an amazing one. Jaren Jackson Jr. was the one who tweeted it out.
Isn't Jaren Jackson Jr. like 16 years old? Like, I feel like that's a little, like, that feels a
little
unfair.
Hold that, bum.
Yeah.
It's so good. Bum. Man, you could just tell he was waiting. I didn't know that they felt such an ownership over that strength in numbers thing.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. I didn't quite get that backstory, but that really feels petty because Jaren Jackson Jr. literally was the youngest player in the league not too long ago.
I know. And he's a great player, too.
Yeah, he's like one of the youngest players ever to play at that level, whatever. But I love Klay and everything Klay says. I didn't love that. Like, dude.
Oh, I think it's great. Come on.
Really?
That is awesome. All time petty, keeping the receipts. No, I mean, he called the guy a bum. Maybe I don't love that, but he's
a freaking bum. Hold that.
It's so good. How about the Warriors? Basically trolling the Boston Celtics fans who were chanting bleep Draymond. Well, this was the Warriors locker room as they were spraying champagne on each other. It's so good. That's awesome. That reminds me a little bit, shades of actually the Boston Red Sox after they won the title in 2018 and they were playing New York on the field in LA when they beat the Dodgers. That was pretty funny. Here's Kevon Looney and Otto Porter were talking about those locker room chants.
Do you gentlemen want to share with the class what was being chanted during that champagne shower back in the locker room?
You can tell them all. Basically, we were saying...
you, Draymond. That's what we were saying.
Yeah, man, we liked
but it. But it was fun, though. You know, it was just, you know, a fun moment for us.
A moment. You know, Draymond been yelling this all year, too, so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it was an inside joke, too.
Everyone just happy. Even the Warriors ownership getting in on the action. Peter Guber. Gruber.
I think it's Gruber, right?
I thought it was a G-R. Gruber.
Gruber, like...
Yeah,
like
it says on the cut sheet, Peter Guber. It's Guber? I thought there was an R there. Okay.
I always thought it was Gruber. There's a name. That guy's name is Guber?
He's a billionaire named Guber. Good for him. Here's what he said about winning in Boston.
Makes it special. Never give up. Never give in. Go all the way. On the parquet floor, two Boston guys win it at the Garden.
Sounds like Sully, who checked in with us yesterday. Oh, sad Sully. All the sad Sullys in Boston yesterday.
Win it at the Garden!
He is from Boston, putting it on a little bit. Peter Guber. Pettiness at an all-time high. I liked it. I thought it was fun. I just didn't realize the Warriors were sitting on all of this.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about Kevin Durant and like, oh, he's so soft because, you know, he responds to every slight. Well, it turns out the Golden State Warriors are keeping track of every slight. They just don't tweet about it.
I kind of think that probably every great team, a lot of great teams probably do this, that we don't see it all the time, but do you think they all probably keep these receipts?
Yeah, and now they just let the floodgates open last night. It was hilarious. Coming up next, best-selling author Jack McCallum is going to put Steph's legacy into proper perspective. Where does he have Steph on the all-time list? We'll get to that in just a moment. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 158.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.